You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all this morning. My name is Natalie, as Jeff said. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I want to welcome everyone to the live stream as well. I'm glad that we have the opportunity for you to engage with us and be with us where you're at this morning as well. Well, today we are continuing this series in the book of Galatians, and our passage is all about growing in your responsibility. And I'm so excited because I love being responsible. I love it. I've taken the StrengthsFinder test a few times, and it's just a personality assessment. Maybe you've taken it for your work or a college class. Well, one of my top strengths is, hands down, always responsibility. I was the goody-two-shoes growing up. My friends in high school, they always called me Mom. I mean, I know it's Father's Day out there. Happy Father's Day to the dads, but moms are amazing. The strength of responsibility, it's just kind of needed with three kids because I'm usually the one getting the kids calmed down for bed, reading books, kind of basic nighttime routine stuff. And then, happy Father's Day! Jeff comes in and he's like, yes, it's bedtime! Like, let's sing songs and be really loud. You know, and dads just always seem to have a really, like, loud, fun time at night. But that makes all the ways that I was being responsible and like working really hard at calming, it kind of just throws it all out the window. But I've since learned that it's actually a little bit responsible to have some fun at night before bed. I've learned that, so thank you for teaching me that. I can let loose a little bit. Well, responsibility. How do you feel when I tell you that you have a responsibility? You might think, it sounds like a lot of weight. It might sound like a lot of work. Or maybe you think, well, you can't tell me what to do, right? And I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I am going to invite you into a greater sense of belonging. Being responsible has kind of been given a bad rap. The idea of being responsible has kind of turned into something negative and undesirable. And maybe you've said, I wish I could have someone take this from my plate. But when it comes to the Bible, having responsibility is an honor, and it ties into our calling. It's something that we can expect and that we are given by God. It looks a lot like being part of a family. When you're part of a family, everyone chips in around the house. When you have a healthy routine in place, you own and embrace your responsibilities because you have a space to belong that's worth investing in. When you're given responsibility within a healthy family system, it's an honor, not a burden. It's an honor, not a burden. More responsibility means more authority and more ownership. It means that you have a place to belong, to lead, and to influence as well. As life goes on and you add more responsibilities to your list, I know that I have. I'm not only responsible for myself. I'm responsible for my kids. I make sure that they have what they need to function, that they make it to school. I need to get them to their appointments, all the sports and activities, and I'm responsible for discipling them as well. Now, these responsibilities, they've changed over the years. When my kids were younger, those responsibilities, they looked different, and they'll keep growing, and as they keep growing, I keep adjusting, but I'll always have something, and it's an honor. It's an honor. I know that we all need a break sometimes, but for most of us, responsibilities, they're a good thing to embrace. The same is true in the kingdom of God. And this morning, we're going to talk about our Christian responsibilities, what that looks like in the book of Galatians, but then also what that looks like for us today. So now before we get into our passage this morning, I want to recap a little bit from Galatians 1 and touch on a few verses that are between the sermon from last week and where we're starting today. Jeff shared last week that Paul, he was this guy who was sent to arrest and kill Christians, but the Lord met him and changed him from the inside out. His life was completely turned around. He then did everything that he could to lead people to Jesus. What happened to Paul could happen to anyone because no one is too far gone to be transformed by the unending love of Jesus Christ. Then in Galatians 2, Paul went to the church leaders in Jerusalem to make sure that he was on the right track. He took a very humble position and he asked the church leaders, is this the right gospel? Am I saying this clearly? Do I have it correct? Because I want to speak the truth. Paul was so wise and so honorable to check in and make sure that he was on the right path. It's so important for us to have accountability as we walk with the Lord. I have a beautiful mentor who checks in with me. She asks me pointed questions. She guides me when I'm getting stuck or maybe overthinking all of my responsibilities. She points out areas in my life where I can grow. And what a gift. What a gift. We need to ask people if we're on the right track. Well, this week, as we continue to work our way through the book of Galatians, my hope for you this morning is that you'll have a greater understanding of what you're responsible for in the kingdom of God. Now, if you've ever wondered about that, this is great. This is going to be great, right? Because you're going to have more clarity during the end of our time together. Let's pick up in Galatians 2, verses 6 through 10. Again, this is where Paul is. He's submitting his teaching to the church and seeking clarity in what he's responsible for. Let's start in verse 6. It says this. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me. And they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. Now, there's familiar language from last week in the scripture, but as we get into this particular section, there's two things that stand out that we're going to talk about today. The first is this: we all have a responsibility. God gave Paul the responsibility to preach to the Gentiles. Peter and the others had a responsibility to preach to the Jews. And everyone in this room has a responsibility to share the message of Christ too. Our church does, and you do too, with word and deed. We all have our own responsibilities. Let's read verses 7 and 8 again. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility, again, this is Paul talking, given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was preaching the gospel, and his specific call, right, was to the Gentiles. The leaders in Jerusalem, they didn't question his ministry. In fact, they actually acknowledged it, just as they recognized Peter's responsibility to the Jews. So, how did Paul know what his responsibility was? How did he know what he was responsible for? There's two ways: through personal revelation and community. So first, let's talk about personal revelation. Paul knew that God gave him this responsibility to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That kind of clarity comes from a close relationship with the Lord. It reminds me again of a relationship between a parent and a child. My kids know what they're responsible for when I communicate clearly. When I'm unclear, they end up confused, but that's all on me, right? When I'm clear, they know what they are responsible for and why it matters. As I give my kids more responsibility, they need to know what those are. And the only way that they can know those things is through a relationship and having conversations. I'd never expect them to take something on that I didn't actually talk to them about, right? That would be crazy. And honestly, part of being a kid is learning how to listen and respond. Listening, it's a skill. It takes work. Now, in the same way, it's important to learn to hear God's voice. Do you know his voice in your life? Do you check in with him regularly throughout your week? It takes time to recognize his voice and to trust actually what he's saying to you for you to do. If he isn't just giving us a responsibility either to just boss us around. He's trusting us with his kingdom. If you want to grow in recognizing his voice, I highly recommend reading through the Gospels, right? Just go back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and pay attention to the heart and voice of Jesus throughout the scriptures. Learn to hear and respond to the Lord. If we want to know what we're responsible for in the kingdom, we have to listen. Read scripture, spend time with Jesus, and learn to trust his call on your life. Now, our world is full of people telling you what to be responsible for. Try this diet because it's the only way that you can be healthy. Buy this organizer. It's the only way to keep up with all the tasks that you have. Download this app because it's going to make everything better. So many options. But when you give your life to Jesus, you have a true shepherd who will guide you and tell you the next step on the journey. Jesus, he invites you to grow in your responsibilities that come from him, the kind that actually change lives, yours and mine. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you haven't yet made a personal decision to follow Jesus. Well, this is the best decision that you'll ever make. And I'd love to help you start a relationship and follow God today. You have an incredible opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God for eternity. Now, I'll lead you in a prayer later if that's something that you want to do, if that's something that you would like to start your journey with today. But for now, let's go back to the scripture. Paul didn't just have a personal revelation. He also was affirmed through community. Okay? Paul knew he was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, but he also checked in with the leaders in Jerusalem. He didn't just assume what he was hearing was exact from God, like he was hearing right all the time. He brought it to others. That's such a good model for us to walk in. We need both. We need personal revelation, and we need to be affirmed through community. Look at verse 9. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me. They accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Paul was encouraged and affirmed by multiple leaders to keep preaching the gospel. If you feel called to something and no one's affirmed that yet in your life, it's time to check in and ask a question. Ask someone, do you see this in me? Is this accurate? If you think you've heard from the Lord about starting a business or moving across the world, bring that to your community. Maybe a small group leader, a mentor, or even maybe a pastor if needed, but at least a few trusted leaders in your life. We don't always hear perfectly. And sometimes we even carry burdens that aren't ours to carry. If you're overwhelmed by the needs around you or you're unsure of where to begin, consider joining a serve team. Get involved in what's already happening here at the Vineyard. Step into the story and see what God does through you. See what he does. And here's something else. You're not expected to have someone else's responsibility. You don't want me fixing plumbing. It would be a disaster. I'd break everything. I cannot work in finance. True confessions, definitely one of my worst grades in college. So I'm so glad that Jeff knows what he's doing. It's just not for me. But God, he has given each of us something specific. You have your responsibilities. I have mine. Jeff has his. And together, we do so much more for God's kingdom than we ever could alone. So much more. That's the beauty of spiritual community. We're not meant to do everything, but we are responsible to our calling. Our church has a responsibility to share the gospel with Northern Colorado. How that looks for each of us, it's different, but we all have a part to play. We dream of planting churches to advance the kingdom of God in Northern Colorado as well. How that plays out, it depends on the responsibilities that God has placed in front of us. And it's not just the pastoral team who is responsible for spreading the gospel into our city. You have a role to play in this story. Some of you will join ministries, start new ones, or lead small groups. And we're all called to invite and bring people into the family of God. And whether big or small, we're all called to give and give generously to make all this happen. Spend time in relationship with the Lord and in spiritual community as a way to learn and grow in your responsibilities that the Lord has for you. You belong, and the Lord is inviting you to not just watch the family of God work together. He's inviting you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. So we all have a responsibility. It's individual, it's collective, and we discover that responsibility directly from God and by trusting in one another. But the second key thing that we have to point out is that we all have a responsibility to serve the poor. When Paul visited Jerusalem and he checked in with the church leaders, he had to make sure that he was on the right track, right? What a healthy and beautiful example for all of us to learn from and grow from. But at the end of this passage, there is a gentle but serious reminder. Look at verse 10. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. When he submitted the way that he was teaching to the church, it sounded like everything was great, but the only suggestion was that he serve the poor. Keep on helping the poor. Don't stop. Keep going. Jay Pathak, he's the national director of Vineyard USA, was speaking to a room full of pastors, Vineyard pastors, and he very, very clearly said, if you're not serving the poor, you're not part of the Vineyard. It was a direct moment for us pastors. And Jay, he didn't hold back when he told all the leaders this. If we're not going to care for the poor, we're not a Vineyard. The Vineyard has to be about serving the poor. It's who we've been. It's who this church has always been. And this is what our church is known for in Northern Colorado. And our hope is to only see this increase and grow over time. We must continue to serve the poor. When the Lofoco Resource Center opens, it's going to give us opportunity upon opportunity to expand our reach and to care for people without expecting anything in return. This will impact our hearts and the hearts of the people that we are serving. We are responsible. We are responsible for taking care of the city that we've been placed in, and will continue to pay attention to those needs and the needs of everyone around us. Now, if you're unsure about what you're called to do, verse 10 just gives you a starting point. This is like the soft toss that you can hit out of the park. You can jump right in and start following God by serving the poor. There's endless, endless opportunities. While preparing for our time together this morning, I was reminded of Hal Donaldson. He's the founder of Convoy of Hope. He's got an amazing story. If you didn't know, Convoy of Hope is our missions partner, and every year we raise money in the fall and give it all away to Convoy. They're changing lives and nations all over the world and bringing hope to those who need it most. But before founding Convoy, Hal was a journalist, and eventually he got this amazing opportunity to interview Mother Teresa during a trip to India. He was supposed to do a story on her amazing work, but during the interview, she asked him a simple question. Young man, what are you doing to serve the poor? He knew deep down that he couldn't lie to Mother Teresa, and he responded, I'm not really doing anything. He went back to his hotel room, and he broke. When he returned home from that trip, he started to do something. He bought a bag of groceries to give away. That's where he started. He started hosting care days, an outreach that served the poor through giving away food to the hungry. This grew and grew until eventually he launched Convoy of Hope. And now Convoy feeds over 639,000 kids every single day. They respond to natural disasters. They empower women. They train farmers, and so much more all over the world. All over. Peter, James, and John, they told Paul to always remember the poor, right? Mother Teresa has a provoking question for hell, and it's the same thing that we always have to remember ourselves. What are we doing to serve the poor? Now, let me encourage you. I'm so happy to share this. And Jeff and I, we were thrilled to find out how much this church cared for the poor when we moved here, but I hope this is encouraging to you. In the last 5 years, our local church has given over $400,000 away to Convoy. $400,000 in 5 years. Over the course of just this last year, we've raised over $1 million for the Love Foco Resource Center. Right? This is who we are. This is what you're a part of. We might have a few potholes in the parking lot, okay? That red orange awning out there, it's not my favorite, and we're praying and strategizing about how to take care of some of those projects next. But we give to the poor first. This is who we are. It's our responsibility as believers. And thankfully, there are many ways that you can join us even before Love Foco is open. We're doing a lot right now. Safe Families is an incredible organization that we love to support. You can give to Love Foco. You can prepare for our one-day offering to give away to Convoy of Hope again this fall. You can pray for our team that's of 19 people that are heading on a missions trip this summer. We even have mini outreach events happening on Saturdays to prepare us for Love Foco, to help us create a space. It's a combination of food and healthcare that all happens in this building. And every time you give, a lot of your generosity, it's directed to local and international care for the poor. There's links in the weekly, if you want to check that out, votrweekly.org, if you want to look into some of those organizations. Jesus modeled service to the poor wherever he went. And Paul was reminded to always serve the poor. We will always be a church that serves the poor. Now, if you're still discovering what your responsibility is, start there. Prioritize it and see what happens to your soul. We all have a responsibility, which means we have an invitation to leave this place this morning with intentionality and purpose. Growing in our understanding of kingdom responsibility, it's a gift and an opportunity. Yes, it carries some weight, but it also carries partnership with God, one that we need to embrace. So spend time with the Lord and learn to recognize his voice in your life. Surround yourself with believers who can point you to Jesus and call out who you are in the Lord, and keep serving the poor. I mean, imagine what it would look like if we all did this. If we all embraced our God-given responsibilities and walked them out with joy and honor, the gospel would spread far and wide, and people would see, know, and experience Jesus through you and through us as a local church. And a final word of encouragement for us this morning, because as a church, we have been doing this for years. Even before we moved here, we have been doing this. If James, Peter, and John were here, I think they might say something like this. Vineyard Church, you have a responsibility to preach the gospel. Vineyard Church, you have a responsibility to share and invite people into the family of God. And Vineyard Church, keep serving the poor. You started strong. You've continued with passion. Now keep going. Never slow down in your love and passion and care for the poor. We have a lot to celebrate here at the Vineyard because we are actually doing this stuff. This is what we're about. We're doing this. We are a church that keeps on serving the poor, and we will not stop. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things. Let's pray together.